tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I've got a bit of good news to get into today. It's not perfect, but it is good news all the same. And this comes from GB News. Universities banned from bullying staff on race, gender and climate in major free speech victory. And this goes back basically to when the Conservatives were in office and they wanted to bring about a free speech bill because they were concerned about censorship at universities, effectively, that people were being booked to speak at a university who were mildly right-wing, and they were being subject to threats and harassment, and the university was saying, well, we can't actually allow this person to speak here because we can't guarantee the safety of the students, so we're effectively not going to allow this person to speak. And thinking of people like Rod Little, a sort of right-wing journalist. You also had feminist professors that did not accept the idea that a biological male could actually also be a woman. TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists, these sorts of people that were being banned from speaking at universities. The Conservative Party were concerned about this, so they said they were going to bring in this bill, this free speech bill, and we covered this in the Daily Nationalist as it was occurring. The Labour Party came in, they said they were going to scrap the bill. The Free Speech Union put pressure on them. They said they will accept this bill, but only for professors and people that are visiting the university, whereas originally students would have also been protected and guaranteed free speech. But as it is, it's just visiting academics. So as I say, it's good that visiting academics are now protected and have some recourse if they are censored. But really, the students should have that same recourse. Labour admitted there has been an unacceptable culture of fear on Britain's campuses, leaving academics silenced. Well, that is quite bizarre, really, because it is the supporters of Labour that are the loudest voices in creating this culture of fear and silencing academics. A new complaints system will make it easier to report universities who fail to protect staff from intimidation over views on topics such as race, gender and climate, the government has announced. And that in itself is good. We're used to seeing things being brought in to prevent criticism of people on the basis of race, gender and climate. But what it's saying here is protecting staff from intimidation over their views on topics. So it's actual views, it's actual opinions here that are being protected, not people being protected on the basis of their protected characteristics, but people being protected over their views on topics, which include those with protected characteristics. From the next academic year, the Office for Students, the OFS, will run a first-of-its-kind scheme allowing members of staff, external speakers, non-student members to voice complaints about institution, the Department of Education said. Well, why is it that these students aren't allowed to complain as well of being intimidated? The regulator will be handed the authority to probe concerns, advise universities to review decisions, pay damages, or overhaul their systems. Of course, the concern then is, well, who will this regulator be? Will it be a political appointment? Will they be somebody from the far left who will not uphold these complaints? These are the sort of questions that I would be asking. Who is this regulator going to be? The OFS will also be allowed to dish out fines to universities for breaching their duties under the Freedom of Speech Act from next April. Financial penalties could reach £500,000 or 2% of the institution's income. And that's quite a hefty fine, 2% of their income. In the most egregious cases, universities could risk losing public funding or even be deregistered altogether. Now, I certainly approve of that, but I doubt very much whether it will ever come to a situation where these universities would actually lose their public funding. The OFS said it has received a number of complaints from academics and external speakers about being harassed and blocked because of their views on controversial topics such as religion, race, or gender. Particularly a Reform UK student who's been facing death threats and protests at university. This is at Sussex and Brighton University. The president of a Reform UK university society has hit back at student protesters on campus, declaring his group is standing up for free speech. Speaking to GB News, Dylan Caddick, who studies at the University of Sussex, criticised Marxist lecturers and students on campus and declared his university a left-wing echo chamber. Protests by students are set to take place today at Sussex, as well as the University of Brighton, following the formation of the Students for Reform Society. So people can't even form a society for a milquetoast right-wing party at a university without facing death threats and protests. Sussex's pro-vice chancellor David Rubain has defended the student group and said they are required to uphold the law and that it stands for diversity in all its forms, including diversity of thought and belief. And of course, I think that's the first time I've ever heard that. They're admitting that diversity actually also stands for thought and belief. Normally, it just stands for replacing as many white people as possible. Speaking ahead of the protest, Mr. Caddick said, "The reason I have set this society up is because it's been so important. In my 3 years in uni so far, my lecturers are all Marxists. All these students. It's just a complete left-wing echo chamber and it's being dominated by one voice. So I thought this whole time we have to actually create some sort of opposition where people can actually feel comfortable to raise their opinions, because at university it needs to encourage people to actually speak up on what they believe in. But that goes for both sides. So this free speech law is so important for us. It is the only reason we are actually allowed to do it. All these students, they've been calling for us to be banned. We are not giving up. We want to keep fighting for this because they call us fascists. They are literally wanting us to be banned." He then talks about violence, death threats. He added, "We've spoken to the university and they have put out a statement supporting us and our right to exist and condemning the violence with the students' union. So far, they have failed to condemn these violent comments, which have called for us to be set on fire, beaten to death with hammers, and all sorts. So we are really just hoping some action can be taken." So that's the sort of conditions that you have on universities nowadays. If you are right wing, I guess you could call Reform right wing. And it's not just, that's a person that was putting on this student group. So I'm not even sure that he would actually come under this new guidance. I'm not sure that he would be able to complain about this because he is a student and it's only the academics that can actually put in complaints about this. The regulator said university staff had also voiced concerns about foreign interference, restricting academic freedom, and job adverts requiring specific ideological positions. And I bet when they talk about foreign interference, they're not talking about Israel, are they? Let's have a look here. And I'm correct. Universities which let extremism run riot to be shut amidst Islamist fears on campuses. Muslim countries have tried to block their youths studying in the UK over fears of radical Islamism. That is interesting. In Saudi Arabia, they're particularly concerned that Muslims could become radicalised in Britain because we have such a problem with jihadis in Britain. But I would have thought the biggest foreign lobby group at universities would be Israel. I mean, a large percentage of these professors happen to be Jewish, and a lot of the academics happen to be Jewish. And you would imagine that they would have quite an influence on the university. And of course, a lot of the students at universities now, they are anti-Israel, and they have these anti-Israel pro-Palestine protests. And I think in America particularly, we've seen some Jewish funders pulling out from the university and saying, we're no longer going to fund this university because these left-wing students are against Israel. So I would be more concerned about Jewish influence if we're going to be talking about foreign interference in universities, more so than Muslim, because their example of Muslim interference at universities here is Muslim countries telling Muslims not to go to the universities in Britain because they will become radicalised. Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson said freedom of speech is the foundation of every university's success, enabling them to foster robust debate and exchange challenging ideas respectfully. Yes, but we don't actually have freedom of speech in Britain, do we? We are not allowed to voice certain opinions unless they are done so with particularly careful wording. And when Keir Starmer talks about being proud of Britain's free speech, what he means is the speech which is free of censorship restrictions. That's what he means when he talks about free speech. He means speech that is not covered by the restrictions which the government have put in place. So that's not actual free speech, is it? Because it has restrictions on the sorts of things that you can say. And we're not talking about threats of violence here. We're just talking about using out-of-date English, for instance, using terminology that was considered quite acceptable 20 years ago, but not acceptable today, enforcing speech codes, basically. So we don't actually have freedom of speech in Britain. So I'm suspicious of Labour Party Education Secretary talking about how freedom of speech is the foundation of every university's success. It is the foundation of university success because you have the free exchange of ideas. But that isn't really the free speech that she means. If you were to say, well, should you allow people onto these university campuses who are investigating World War II and who have been accused of being Holocaust deniers by Jewish advocacy organisations, I'm fairly certain she would say freedom of speech doesn't cover that, and we don't want those people on our universities, even though we don't actually have Holocaust denial laws in Britain. She continued, but there are far too many cases where academics and speakers are being silenced, inciting an unacceptable culture of fear and stifling the pursuit of knowledge. The urgency is clear, which is why we are strengthening protections and empowering the regulator to restore our world-class universities as engines of opportunity, aspiration and growth. And I mean, that's great what she said there, but it really all depends on what the regulator is like, doesn't it, really? If the regulator is an extreme left-wing person, then they're not going to uphold a lot of these, are they? They're going to say, oh, well, that's an insulting or abusive topic to bring up those statistics. So, no, we're not going to uphold your complaint that you weren't allowed to bring these statistics to the university, for instance. The DfE has insisted the new system will be free of charge to use and empower more people to raise concerns confidently. In August, the Higher Education or Freedom of Speech Act came into force, forcing Britain's universities to actively promote academic freedom on campus. But this article that I just pointed out by this supporter of reform, if this act came in last August and they're supposed to be promoting free speech in universities, well, how come this was published in January and he was receiving death threats for wanting to set up a reform society at his university? So clearly his university was not actively promoting academic freedom if it was allowing that to go on. Under the new rules, institutions were banned from using non-disclosure agreements to silence victims of campus misconduct in the aims of protecting vulnerable individuals who have experienced harassment, abuse, or sexual assault. In March 2025, the University of Sussex was given a landmark fine of £585,000 after it was found to have failed to uphold free speech. So I wonder what case that was. And that was the University of Sussex. I think that's the same university that the person from wanted to set up this reform society was actually from. So perhaps they may have changed things there. And it looks like this was to do with a statement that they put out about trans. The OFS report specifically criticised Sussex's policy statement on trans and non-binary equality for failing to uphold freedom of speech and academic freedom principles. So this was probably to do, yes, Professor Kathleen Stock. It was to do with this TERF, effectively, trans-exclusionary radical feminist. The OFS stated that there was no evidence to suggest that gender-critical philosophy Professor Kathleen Stock's speech during her employment at the university was unlawful. The investigation was sparked when Stock was forced out of the University of Sussex in 2021 after experiencing a three-year campaign of bullying and character assassination. Stock was embroiled in controversy over gender identification and transgender rights, and some students objected to her involvement with the LGB Alliance, an organization opposing the idea that gender, the way you feel or dress, is more important than biological sex. So this act has actually been used to fine this university £500,000 for that. Are they also going to fine them for these death threats that this head of the Reform Student Union has been receiving? Well, he doesn't actually come under this law, does he? Because he's a student. That's what I'm saying. It's important that students also come under this, that these protections aren't just for academics, but are also for students. The fine came after a 3.5-year investigation into the resignation of Professor Kathleen Stock, launched after high-profile protests calling for her dismissal over her gender-critical views. Free Speech Union director Toby Young hailed the new system as welcome news, but urged the government to roll out a similar system for students to protect those like Connie Shaw or Brody Mitchell, as I say, and also like the Reform Society there. Let's have a look at what these two were prosecuted for, or persecuted for, rather. Britain is a laughingstock. Gender-critical student suspended from university radio issues stark free speech warning. Shaw was removed from student radio after expressing her view that men cannot be women. And what's this other one here? Students suspended for hate speech after joking that pro-Gaza activists' headscarf looked like a tea towel. And of course they could say, well, that was insulting. That means you're inciting hate. You were insulting him by saying that his headscarf looked like a tea towel. And of course the answer would be, well, that's not based on race, is it, or religion. That's just based on what that individual looks like. I'm saying his headscarf looks like a tea towel. But of course, the university will say, well, that's insulting. And a lot of Muslims might wear these headscarves. So you're insulting all of them. Therefore, you're inciting hate with that. So would that even come under free speech? Would that even be protected under this new act? I'm not certain. Toby Young from the Free Speech Union insisted that the FSU will continue to campaign for their, meaning students, inclusion. Meanwhile, Shadow Education Secretary Laura Trott said university staff have been left exposed to censorship with no clear route of redress. Protecting free speech in our universities is fundamental to academic freedom, and this step is welcome but long overdue after years of delay from Labour, she added. And Edward Stidelsky, a lecturer at Exeter University and director of the Committee for Academic Freedom, said, "No longer will universities be able to bully with impunity academics who refuse to toe the standard line on race, gender, climate, and many other issues. And I wonder if they have specifically said race, gender and climate, or whether they have said on any issues, because, of course, research into World War II, for instance, is excluded from that. Well, let's have a look at what the Free Speech Union actually have to say about this. That's Toby Young's organisation. He says, this is long overdue. For years, university officials and their political allies have claimed that the free speech crisis on Britain's campuses is a figment of our imagination. Exactly the same as they claimed that the grooming gangs were a figment of our imagination as well. Even as survey after survey has proved otherwise. At the Free Speech Union, about 8% of the 5,700 plus cases we have fought over the last 6 years have involved universities failing to protect free speech and academic freedom on campus, and in the absence of a proper complaint scheme, we have had to spend hundreds of thousands of pounds defending our members in court, but from next April they will be able to obtain justice more easily. So if we look at that, it's 8% of the cases are to do with what's been happening at universities. That means 90% of these other cases must be for other reasons. 90% of these other cases must be the government trying to silence people's opinions. I mean, that's an awful lot of cases. And you can probably say that the Free Speech Union probably only take on about 10% of the cases, which means that there would be the actual number of these cases must be up to about 500,000. If there's 5,700 cases, my multiplication is not good there. I was thinking that would be 500,000 cases, but it's actually only 50,000 cases. 50,000 cases is still a lot of cases of the government trying to silence people for their opinions. It's a lot more, for instance, than get persecuted for their opinions in Russia or China. Toby Young continues, but it is not all good news. Students won't be able to make complaints under the scheme that Bridget Phillipson intends to introduce. Their only means of redress, apart from going to the law courts, will be to complain to the Office of the Independent Adjudicator, which is legally not able to determine whether a university has adequately discharged its free speech duties. And as I say, who is this adjudicator going to be anyway? The complaint scheme included in the Act would have been accessible to students, but the Education Secretary is intending to introduce a version of the scheme that excludes them. That isn't right, and we will continue to campaign for their inclusion. So you can see the way that Labour dealt with this. It was the Conservative Party that initiated bringing this Act in. The Labour Party then said, oh, we're going to scrap this. Then after pressure, they said, oh, we'll bring it back, but we'll only bring it back for academics. We won't actually cover students. And all the news about this is, oh, isn't it good news that the Labour Party are bringing this Act back? But in actual fact, they've left half of it out. There's no protection for students there. So, but instead of being criticised for that, they're being praised for bringing this in, because at first they said, well, we're just going to cancel this Act. I mean, that's why Toby Young was saying here that we've been told that this free speech crisis on our campuses is actually in our imagination. I mean, that's pretty much what the Labour Party said. But then after pressure, they brought in half the Act. Toby Young continues, in addition, only academics and visiting speakers at English universities will enjoy this new free speech protection. Those living in the rest of the United Kingdom will not. The next focus of free speech campaigners should be to extend the protection provided for in the Act to every part of the UK. We need free speech acts in Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland. Well, I don't think you'll be getting one in Scotland too soon. Didn't they just recently bring in one of the world's most restrictive speech acts, where you're not even allowed to voice your own opinion in your own house at your own dinner table without risk of being arrested? And when the Act was actually brought in, there was multiple reporting of Hamza Yousaf for his white speech, where he quite violently spoke of his disgust for the fact that Scotland was being governed by white people and not non-white people. And he was not arrested for this, despite there being hundreds, possibly thousands of reports put in reporting him for hate speech. So it's quite clear that these new Scottish laws are going to be used selectively, aren't they? They're going to be used to go after people that are critical of the government rather than people that are supportive of diversity. At least that's what it seems to be implying by the fact that they didn't arrest Hamza Yousaf for incitement to hate. Getting back to Toby Young here, he says, so while this is welcome news, it remains only a partial victory. Campaigners have won an important battle, but the fight to restore free speech to its rightful place at the heart of our universities continues. And I would say, well, you want free speech restored to its rightful place in society, not just at the universities, but in society. And I guess one practical way that we could do that is to support this new free speech bill that this barrister has brought out in America, suggesting that parties such as Reform and Restore should get behind this and say, look, we've got this bill and this will prevent this problem. It effectively says that you're not allowed to incite violence, but you can use insulting language, for instance, if you're being critical about race or gender or religion. At the moment, you're not allowed to use words that can be considered insulting or abusive. And of course, just normal work banter between your workmates. You insult one another and it's just considered humour. But under our free speech restrictions that we have in Britain, that could be completely illegal. That could see you sent to jail just for your banter between your workmates. I mean, that's how ridiculous the speech laws are in Britain. And I do wonder how they managed to actually get them past Parliament, why there wasn't an uproar about this at the time, back in the 80s and the 90s when these laws were actually brought in. Of course, there were nationalists that were critical of it at the time. But at the time, I mean, you had punk bands using the N-word and all sorts of violent language being used in skinhead bands. And as far as I'm aware, none of them were actually prosecuted. So it's only now, 30, 40 years later, now that these laws have been in place for quite some time, that now they're using them to go after people for not using up-to-date language, for still using abbreviations that were considered quite non-offensive 20 years ago, but can be considered an offensive word today. So they're effectively using this law to silence people's opinions, which I would suggest is one of the reasons why it was brought in. It wasn't so much about preventing violence occurring to minorities as it was about preventing criticism of government policy on things such as immigration. So it's good that they have brought this in and that academics will have some financial redress if they're silenced by universities, but it should really also apply to students. And it, even wider than that, it should really apply to the whole of society. We need to have guaranteed free speech in a similar way to the Americans do. I mean, we're just so grateful to America for having platforms where free speech is upheld, and you actually have a free marketplace of ideas, because that can be held up as that's what free speech actually is, as compared to places like Britain that have extreme censorship laws. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.